Welcome to Anchored Daily. My name is Derek, and today we'll be reading from the book of Joshua. Okay, Bethel, today's passage from Joshua chapter 22 isn't so much a crazy, out-of-nowhere story as it is a story that is often tragically representative of what we see frequently in life today. Let's jump into it and see how the story of God's people from almost 3.5 millennia ago shows us our hearts today. The story starts out positively with the eastern tribes of Israel, the families of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, returning to their homes after successfully conquering the promised land, fighting alongside all God's people. The story of these 2.5 tribes of Israel requires a quick backstory. See, in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, before Israel crossed the Jordan River to conquer the promised land that God was going to give them, these 2.5 tribes decided that they would rather settle and make their home east of the Jordan River in a land that was not the promised land. At that time, Moses, the leader of Israel, speaking on behalf of God, allowed them to do this if they agreed to two things. First, they would still send their fighting men with the rest of the nation to conquer the promised land. And second, they agreed to follow the laws of God along with the whole nation. They agreed. And after a successful years-long military campaign, the men were traveling back home, having fulfilled the first part of this promise. All appears good. Then we get to Joshua chapter 22, verse 10, and read with me. And when they came to the region of the Jordan that is in the land of Canaan, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, an altar of imposing size. Okay, admittedly, that might not mean much to us, but we can kind of figure out what it means based on the rest of Israel's response in verse 12. And when the people of Israel heard of it, the whole assembly of the people of Israel gathered at Shiloh to make war against them. Building this altar was so offensive to Israel that they were immediately ready to make war against their brothers who had just helped them win military victory in taking over the promised land. And that's a rapid turnaround, but one that shows us how severe the wrong was in building this altar. See, there was only supposed to be one altar in the entire nation upon which sacrifices could be made to the Lord, and it was not supposed to be this altar that the eastern tribes had erected on their way out of town. If these tribes had made a promise to follow the laws of God, they had immediately broken that promise before they even made it back home. So the rest of the nation is ready to make war against them. But at least they first send out a group of leaders to confront the eastern tribes to ask them what's up. In verse 16, they ask, "Why? What is this breach of faith that you have committed against the God of Israel in turning away this day from following the Lord by building yourselves an altar this day in rebellion against the Lord?" Following in verse 19 with, "Do not rebel against the Lord, or make us as rebels by building for yourselves an altar other than the altar of the Lord our God." Israel was concerned not just that the eastern tribes had rebelled by building the altar, but that they would be dragged into the punishment of God along with those tribes. The eastern tribes then respond to this accusation, starting in verse 22. "The mighty one, God the Lord, the mighty one, God the Lord, he knows, and let Israel itself know. If it was in rebellion or in breach of faith against the Lord, do not spare us today for building an altar to turn away from following the Lord. Or if we did so to offer burnt offerings or grain offerings or peace offerings on it, may the Lord himself take vengeance. No, but we did it from fear that in time to come, your children might say to our children, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? Therefore, we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but to be a witness between us and you, and between our generations after us, that we do perform the service of the Lord in his presence." After hearing the reasoning from the eastern tribes, how does the rest of Israel respond? Verse 33, "And the report was good in the eyes of the people of Israel. And the people of Israel blessed God and spoke no more of making war against them to destroy the land where the people of Reuben and the people of Gad were settled." The people of Reuben and the people of Gad called the altar witness. "For," they said, "it is a witness between us that the Lord is God." Well, that is quite the episode in the history of Israel. But here is how it becomes sadly relevant to me. How often do I, like Israel, not know the motives behind someone's actions and instead assume the worst, wanting to walk out in my anger to destroy them? I mean, I even do this with those closest to me. You know, the guy in small group who doesn't appear to desire to grow closer to God? Well, he must be lazy and uninspired. And I forget that maybe he hasn't yet felt the beauty of the good news of Jesus as the thing to draw him towards God. Other times, I act like the Eastern tribes. I doubt that others are really being sincere with me. I think they're going to forget me. So I try to work too hard and make a show just so that they'll remember me. I forget that what matters is the fact that Jesus knows me. He remembers me, and there's nothing I can do to make him mistake or misplace me. I am always in him, so I don't have to perform to please any other human, because the acceptance of Jesus will hold me forever. While Israel avoided going to war with each other in this chapter of Joshua, honestly, due to my impure motives and actions, I deserve to be fought against and defeated by a perfect God who has done no wrong. But that's not what I receive. Instead, Jesus gives me his perfect life, takes away my brokenness, and allows me into his family to be with him. And he does that for you, too. We deserve war, but have received peace. And praise God for that. May this story of Israel narrowly avoiding war always remind us of that truth. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you want to check out more podcasts just like this, you can go to bethel.ch and you'll find amazing selections of podcasts and much more. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us with podcasts@bethel.ch. See you next time.